I'm Evan Hanen.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. We'll even install your new blades while you wait. See better and drive safer. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Right now, the world feels different as we stay apart to make sure we can safely come back together. Till then, there is something you can do without even leaving your home. Respond to the 2020 Census online, by phone, or by mail. The Census impacts where hundreds of billions in federal funding will go for things like hospitals, schools, and roads. Now is the time to go to 2020census.gov. It's as easy as it is important. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. I'm here with Ryan, owner of the locally owned Snap Construction and arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor in the metro. Ryan had to call in for this ad because he's practicing social distancing. So what is Snap Construction doing right now to provide a safe working environment?
Thanks for the introduction, Chad. I am at home practicing social distancing, watching the little man, and trying to get a little work done here at home. Once again, thank you to all the AM950 listeners who have worked with us in the past. Your support has been tremendous. Chad, the safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction is the absolute first priority. Right now, we are offering a free no-contact estimate for roofing, siding, or window replacement. Through video chat, email, text, we'll deliver your bid to you without face-to-face contact. Lock in your historically low labor and material rates now and build later. No obligation. You can cancel any future work with no cost or penalty.
For a free no-contact estimate, call 612-333-SNAP.
In response to COVID-19, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is working to be safe and healthy for our customers and employees. We enable and require our employees to stay home if they are sick. We are closing our showroom temporarily, but we are answering our phone calls and emails. We can do a lot remotely and electronically. Email us your pictures, sketches, and plans of your project. We will listen to your ideas and make suggestions. We can explain which products will work and price them. We are doing installation and service cost estimating and scheduling. Visit us online at woodlandstoves.com. Give us a call or email us at info@woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, partly sunny with a high near 74. Tonight, a chance of rain after 7 p.m. with a low around 48. Friday, partly sunny with a high of 71 and a low of 53, while Saturday expect thunderstorms with a high of 68 and a low of 52.
Make the most of your time at home with a new gas, pellet, or charcoal grill from Warner Stellion. Buy online, by phone, or in store. Plus, enjoy free assembly, contact-free delivery, and free haul away. Grill buying is safe and easy with the specialists at Warner Stellion.
Voice of Minnesota. You're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on a Thursday afternoon, joined along by
Eric Nelson, who was here at the station helping broadcast that big news we got from Governor Tim Walz. The stay-at-home order is expiring on Sunday night and into Monday, being the first full day where we will now have what's called a stay-safe order, in which you are going to be allowed to have gatherings of up to 10 people, and retail establishments are able to reopen at 50% capacity. Then he was even mentioning on June 1st they may even look at opening bars and restaurants. The Stay Safe Order, I think we need a new name for that. It's really the Don't Be Stupid Minnesota Order, because I don't necessarily disagree with the idea that there are some businesses that can probably reopen and operate safely. Just it's kind of an intelligence test, Eric, as to whether people are still going to exercise the proper precautions, unlike what we saw in Wisconsin last night, where people were crowding into bars and not wearing any sort of face masks or taking any protections whatsoever. So were you surprised by that order last night? I was
not anticipating that, mm-hmm. but I guess it makes sense now as, you know, it doesn't seem like pushing it off is going to
right.
improve the situation for mm-hmm. Minnesota whatsoever.
I mean, Governor Walz was going through his justification. He was bringing up how, well, A, we have not been doing so good at social distancing. We originally received that A-plus grade from, I forgot the name of the organization that was grading states on social distancing. Back in March, we were getting an A, and the most recent grading was a D, which we brought up the other day on the show. Now, whatever you think about those gradings and how accurate it is, kind of besides the point, but I could even see that myself just wandering outside, how people weren't doing such a good job at social distancing. And I think to a point that is just human nature. It's tough to keep people cooped up inside for months on at a time. So I think by lifting that stay-at-home order and going to the stay-safe, or as I like to call it, the don't-be-stupid Minnesota order, I think it does kind of give people some hope, because that's tough to be locked inside and home and having tons of restrictions for an indefinite amount of time. Maybe by giving people hope, that kind of will maybe get people to somewhat obey social distancing and making sure they're staying smart. I'm trying to find the justification for it.
Feeling like it's all or nothing, and maybe
being
a little more relaxed on it.
Yeah, exactly. And like I was saying, I think there are some establishments that you can open safely. I mean, the analogy Walz made during his press conference was talking about shopping at a hardware store and just passing somebody versus sitting at a restaurant face-to-face with somebody. Certainly, if you're, just passing someone at a hardware store, your risk of transmitting COVID is very, very low versus if you're sitting at a bar or a restaurant and you're sitting only a couple feet away from somebody and you're there for a prolonged amount of time, you certainly have a much higher risk of transmitting COVID-19. So, reopening retail locations operating at 50%, I think that's relatively reasonable, as long as people are still not being idiots about it, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw that, you know, there was probably no form of relief going to be coming, so mm-hmm. people did need to get back to work.
That's a great point, because at the federal level, I mean, they're working on CARES point 4.0, 5.0, 6, whatever.
I think, 5.0 is the most recent one.
It's funny that these upgrades seem to be getting worse and worse. Usually upgrades are supposed to get better as you patch things along. But that's a solid point. If we know we're not going to be getting any sort of real stimulus from the federal government that can help small businesses, then, to try to keep them afloat, maybe you do need to somewhat relax social distancing measures and relax stay-at-home orders. And you and I were having this conversation, too, before the show, and I know we got a phone call coming in, so I'll let you get to that. But when it comes down to a stay-at-home order, the best way to get that to work, or a way where you could have 100% with a stay-at-home order, is to do something that would certainly not be very popular. That would be having a full-on militarized type lockdown where, like, if you literally leave your house, you're getting arrested by someone with the National Guard or the police force. If you were to employ that type of order, there's a good chance you would probably reduce or even eliminate the spread of COVID-19. But I don't think anyone wants to have that type of police state put in place. And then Eric made a solid point as we were talking before the show. And even if you were to put in that type of militarized lockdown, it would only work if you did that on either a countrywide or a worldwide level. Because if only one state is doing that, there's still the risk of people coming in from other states and respreading the disease once you lift that strict type of lockdown. It's actually not too dissimilar from the gun debate. I've made this argument for years talking about the gun debate and gun regulations. It's ultimately going to be tough to get gun regulations to work because you have different laws in different states, where so often people point to Illinois and Chicago saying, well, they have all sorts of these strict gun measures, yet look at all the gun deaths they have. Well, it's because they're getting a lot of guns coming in from areas like Indiana, where if you look at Hawaii, which of course is an island, they have strict gun measures like Illinois, but they don't have any gun deaths. So using that analogy, I think it would be similar to a lockdown order that would be employed at the national level. Yeah, if you were to have a full nationalized lockdown where people would be getting arrested if they left their home, and by the way, that's not a popular solution, and I'm not even sure that's the right one, it would be a way to probably stop the spread of COVID-19, but you would need to do that at a national level and then go with some very unpopular police state type of measures.
Yeah, so, I mean, even more than maybe national level, maybe internet, like at least Canada, Mexico.
Well, certainly, too. I mean, you would probably have to close the borders if you were to do that into the U.S., but even if you reopen the borders, who knows if you still get someone that comes into the country and spreads the disease. So,
it takes is one person to come in and reignite it all.
That's exactly how it got here in the first place.
Yeah.
Someone flew in from the country, either from China or Europe. Kind of depends on what coast, because it sounds like at least on the East Coast, most of their cases actually came from Europe, even though so often we hear the narrative that the disease came from China.
When they talk about like one origin, though, it's like, why do we think that it's just one? You know, it's probably 100 people come in and infected us.
Yeah, it's not
we
just
knew.
One guy. Which goes to kind of that Hollywood narrative that you see in, like, those pandemic movies where it always goes down to that one patient who spread the disease, whether you're talking about Contagion or, oh, I'm blanking on that really bad movie from the 90s that locked down a California town.
Escape from L.A.? I don't know.
No, that's the movie with Kurt Russell. Yeah. I don't think that one had to do with the pandemic. But, yeah, that's usually what you see in pandemic-type movies or works of fiction, is that it always comes down to just that one person who spread the disease, when, as you're saying, that's not the case. It was probably tens of hundreds, if not thousands of people that were coming into the country.
Especially with this disease that's just like so wildly infectious, and it has such a long incubation period, there's no way to know who brought it in or where it came from.
And going back to your point, the only way you're going to get a lockdown order to work is if you probably would need to do that worldwide, and good luck doing that. And by the way, who wants to have that type of police state anyways, where like you're going to get arrested by the police or the National Guard if you leave your home? I mean, it's a guaranteed way to stop the disease, but you're certainly paying a high cost to make sure that happens.
And ultimately, I mean, the stay-at-home order accomplished what Governor Walz set out to have it accomplish, which was just pushing back the peak until we had enough ventilators, enough testing for the state. So and we accomplished that. So, all right, well, let's open it back up.
Let's ultimately see how things go. Yeah, that's where we're pretty much at right now. And
I mean, until they have a vaccine, it's kind of like, well, we're all probably going to get it.
Yeah, or at least treatment. I think there's a very realistic chance we won't even end up with a vaccine. It'll be similar to what we saw with HIV/AIDS, because from what I've heard from medical professionals is that it's hard to develop a vaccine for something like a coronavirus, because keep in mind, there's many versions of coronaviruses, and it's tough to vaccinate since these things mutate similar to the flu. So it might come down to having an effective treatment to like what we have with HIV/AIDS, where we've largely made that something that people are able to live with. But we'll have to see whether this works or not, and it's going to come down to reporting factual data on this. Because if you look at, like, let's say Florida and Georgia, where they lifted their stay-at-home orders earlier and have gone to pretty high measures in terms of reopening their businesses, it's tough to know how they are doing.
Oh,
with
their barely any cases.
Yeah. Yeah, barely any cases is what they're telling us.
Barely any testing.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at Florida and what's happening down there. They had a TV station do an investigation a few weeks ago where they found that the medical examiner's numbers in several counties were higher than what the state health department was reporting. And then they found out later that the state health department is no longer going to be including numbers that were compiled by the medical examiner's office. So that's a convenient way to under-report the amount of cases. Or I'm not sure if you saw this one from Georgia a few days ago. This is like hilarious fraud and just blatant misleading folks. So Georgia the other day, their Department of Health sent out a chart that was showing the number of cases and deaths that they were having with COVID-19. Where on the y-axis, they had the number of cases. That would be the vertical part of the chart. And then on the x-axis, the horizontal part, they had the dates. There was one problem, though. They put the dates out of order. So it went from April 24th, 25th, 26th, May 7th, April 28th, April 29th, May 5th, April 30th, May 1st.
Understandable mistake.
Understandable. So it gave the perception that, yeah, the cases were going way, way down. But, yeah, that helps when you put the dates out of order. And then even when they were putting out the charts, so each day they were listing the four highest infectious counties. And from day to day, they were reordering the counties. So on April 25th, you would go from DeKalb County listed first, then you would have Fulton County listed second. I'm just naming Georgia counties off the top of my head. I'm not sure if that's true.
It's pretty impressive you got two of them.
I know. I did get two of them. And then County C would be listed third. County D would be listed fourth. Well, then the next day, they would list County C first, Fulton County second, County D third. So they would put the counties out of order to make it look like that the numbers were going down. So, yeah, they were called out on this, and they said they apologized to the Department of Health in Georgia for the mistake.
The mistake, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a mistake.
It's that Benjamin Franklin quote.
Yeah.
There's lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Mm-hmm. But that makes us tough to figure out. I mean, if you can really open up states and not have a huge spike of deaths and cases if we can't even get accurate numbers. Even going to the progressive side on the issue in this, I've heard a lot of progressives cite Wisconsin and saying how they had 72 cases that were reported from large gatherings. Now, keep in mind, when Wisconsin reported this data, the large gathering didn't necessarily mean they were coming from the protests. It can be maybe inferred that they were, but they didn't specifically ask on that survey in terms of how people got the disease if it came from the Open the State rally.
It just come from the election?
Yeah. It just said, were you at a large gathering? That was one of the options, and 72 people checked that, and people might have different definitions of that. So ultimately, we need to get accurate numbers to figure out how and when you can reopen the economy at different phases. And if you don't even have accurate numbers, especially like with what we're seeing in Florida and Georgia, it's tough to figure out where we necessarily need to be when it comes to reopening the economy. So at least in Minnesota, hopefully we can get some accurate numbers and see how things are going. I would be very happy if it turns out that we can reopen sectors of the economy and not have any spikes in deaths or cases. I think that would be great news. I would love to be able to go out to bars and restaurants and movie theaters and bowling alleys and things like that.
I think they're planning for spikes in cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now we have a larger available
pool. Well, I'm at least talking like those massive
spikes
of cases where you're overwhelming the hospital system. No, you're absolutely right. We are going to see spikes in cases. That's inevitable because you're relaxing social distancing measures and you're allowing places to reopen that were closed before. Absolutely right. You're going to see spikes of cases. It just depends on how extreme they are. And if it stays manageable, then yeah, maybe we can open other sectors of the economy and other businesses. Let's talk to Randy in St. Cloud, who wants to chime in on what's happening with the stay safe order. Hey, Randy, what's on your mind today?
Well, I think it's pretty funny you kind of started with, I think we could reopen if we just can count on people not being stupid, you know, and then you said that might not be the way to put it. But then,
well, essentially, yeah, that's why I think the order should be called the Don't Be Stupid Minnesota Order, not the Stay Safe Order.
Right, but people in general, then you talked about the government officials of Florida and Georgia, and the Don't Be Stupid, I'm kind of lost now.
It's all that Gulf Air, we don't have their problems.
Well, but we got some of the same thought processes going on in Minnesota, don't kid yourself. There mm-hmm. was a crowd that was out on Summit Avenue a couple weeks ago demanding that we open the state. So, and the problem is we're told that we can't give us universal basic income mm-hmm. because it's too complicated. But, God, lots of countries have figured out that they're doing it right now to keep their people safe. Mm-hmm. They're also giving them universal health care to keep their people safe. And in this new legislation from our wonderful leaders, there's also money for the Pentagon, who's got almost all the money already. And how are more bombs or whatever they want to spend that money on going to keep us safe versus giving us universal health care right now, at least through the pandemic?
Well, if you bomb people who have the virus, technically you've stopped the spread of the virus.
Oh, God, you're a genius.
I know, exactly,
I didn't even think of that.
The ends justify the means.
Yes, there you go. Well, that's all I got.
All right.
It's maddening.
Thanks for the call there, Randy. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So we'll see how things end up going with the Stay Safe order. By the way, the Mall of America has already announced that they are going to be reopening on June 1st. So hopefully people will be smart about this and will not go out and do dumb things like gather in places and not wear face masks with large groups of people. But we'll have to see.
And speaking of stupid people, I was just called up to be told that I screwed up the quote, or I screwed up the attribution of the quote. It was Mark Twain who said lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Not Benjamin
Franklin. I didn't even
Franklin.
Catch you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, two heroes. I'll give you a little bit of a pass on that, but yeah, that was Mark Twain who said that. Benjamin Franklin may have said something like that, too. I'm trying to give you cover right there, but no.
He probably did.
Hey, we'll come on back with more here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
As an essential business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here to help you with all your heating and cooling needs. They've also got a great deal to get you ready for summer. During May, you can save $1,900 or more on a new furnace and air conditioner and also have payments as low as $83 a month. Or ask about their 0% financing option. Find out more about these great deals at standardheating.com/AM950. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Shroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Shroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at ShromanLaw.com. That's ShromenLaw.com.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, the value of care, feminism, and ethics.
Caring for others is a moral virtue.
Yeah, but can a whole moral theory be based on care?
Well, if we don't care, why would we treat each other ethically?
But shouldn't we treat even those we don't care about fairly?
The value of care, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
The electric fetus remains closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but we are all staying safe and hope we can see our wonderful community again soon. During this time, we are filling orders for music, gift department items, and gift cards at electricfetus.com. Orders of $35 or more ship free. We will be reopening as soon as it is safe to do so for our customers and staff, and we will see you in the aisles again when the time is right. Watch for updates and contact us at electricfetus.com. That's electricfetus.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Welcome back to FY Politics with Brett Johnson. So, stay-at-home order does expire on Sunday night and into Monday morning. Then we have the stay-safe order, where one more time you will be able to go to retail establishments as they will have a 50% capacity, and you are allowed to have gatherings of up to 10 people. Certainly a baby step, but it will be a test, an intelligence test, to make sure that, or to see if we can stay smart with this and not do dumb things. Remains to be seen whether that will be the case. Why, again, I like calling it the Don't Be Stupid Minnesota Order. We'll see how it works. Other piece of news, I got to pass this along because it's just maddening that this can happen here, Eric. So, Jeff Bezos, between March and May, he saw his net worth jump to $30 billion. That was an increase.
Yeah, yeah.
$30
billion in how long?
It says his wealth jumps to $30 billion.
Well, he was already
from March to May, yeah.
Okay, so he increased $30 billion
March
to May.
Yeah, the headline's not word of the best, but yeah, it had an increase and it went up to $30 billion. It didn't increase, I don't think, by
He was past $30 billion. I believe he had like near $100 billion to begin with. So yeah. It must be around $130 now.
But yeah, he's seeing that increase of wealth. Meanwhile, Amazon workers are having an end to their $2 an hour hazard pay for workers. That increase of $2 that they received for hazard pay, that's going away. You would think $30 billion, you could at least give some money to your employees, but no, not the case over there at Amazon.
Especially because he was directly enriched by the conditions that led to him getting so much business.
And it's not like you need to go out and give your employees millions of dollars, just a reasonable amount of money. That's not a good perception to be ending hazard pay for employees that are working in, hence the name, hazardous conditions, and then have a $30 billion increase on your wealth. Let's talk to Brad in Robbinsdale, who wants to get in on the conversation. Oh, Brad, looks like you're going to give us some facts here about Benjamin Franklin.
Okay, well, you might want your fact checker to go on this, but it's a little-known fact that Ben Franklin was the only president of the United States who never was president of the United States.
A lot of people do think he was the president.
Okay. Well, again,
I'm confused by what you said. He was the only president of the United States who wasn't the president?
Yes.
Okay.
And basically, that's a gag line for some of the older hippies out in the audience there from Fire Sign Theater.
All right.
All right.
I'm not familiar with that, Brad and Robinson.
And I do recommend it.
All right. Appreciate the phone call there, Brad. We'll have to do a little Googling, I think, during the break here, Eric. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll come on back with another segment here on AM 950 Radio.
Here at Osprey Wilds on beautiful Cryonstone Lake near Sandstone, we hope you and your family are staying safe. Although our office is closed, our trails remain open to the public. Watch the sunset, listen to the birds, look for flowers, and enjoy a few moments of peace. For more information, visit OspreyWilds.org. That's OspreyWilds.org.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here to say thanks for keeping your radio tuned to AM 950 during this crisis. I also wanted to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart who's become a member of AM 950 over the last few weeks. It's so important to keep AM 950 on the air, maintaining a progressive radio voice in Minnesota for 2020. We feature the best in progressive talk and great local hosts like Brett Johnson, Robert Pilot, and myself. We started our membership program to make sure AM 950 got through this trying time, and you, the listener, have responded. Thank you so very much. You can become a member by simply heading over to am950radio.com and donating. The membership response has been so great, we're planning on launching some brand new members-only content, starting with some great new interviews. Tom Hartman will have a regular monthly members-only interview, and we'll have new member content updated weekly. Head over to am950radio.com and declare, yes, I want to support AM950. For everyone who is a member, thank you so very much for your support, and thanks for listening to the progressive voice of Minnesota, AM950.
Hi, everybody out there in AM950 Radio Land. This is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. We've got a great show this weekend. We continue our series with liberal blogger and cool cat, Mr. Charlie Pierce. You've seen him on CNN and MSNBC. It's our sixth episode with Mr. Pierce. We talk politics, music, Bob Dylan, Little Richard, the Supreme Court, President Trump, and more. 6 p.m. Saturday on AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, partly sunny with a high near 74. Tonight, a chance of rain after 7 p.m. with a low around 48. Friday, partly sunny with a high of 71 and a low of 53, while Saturday expect thunderstorms with a high of 68 and a low of 52. With the state having closed bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, featuring high-quality local foods, unique dishes, vegetarian options, and so much more. These restaurants are locally owned, so the money you spend stays local. Find all the restaurants offering takeout at eatlocalminnesota.com.
So coming up in this segment, we're going to be talking about personal liberty and data privacy. I got to come up with a name for this, maybe like the freedom segment here on AM 950, the freedom and liberty segment with Brett Johnson and Eric Nelson, because I have a number of stories that are talking about data privacy and making sure the government isn't interfering on your rights. So let's dive right into it. First up, I want to follow up on contact tracing. Eric and I were talking about that yesterday, and Eric, you had some valid concerns about contact tracing and having data collected about you. This isn't really directed at you. This is more the Minnesota Republicans who are very much opposed to contact tracing. Is this really where we're drawing the line on data privacy? Because if you're looking at what's happening in the U.S. Senate, they just reauthorized a portion of the Patriot Act. Yeah, the Patriot Act, the thing that just never seems to go away. Here's what was reauthorized. It is going to allow the government, or at least continue to allow the government, to access your internet browsing histories without a warrant. No warrant whatsoever. Government can just go and access your private browser data. So going back to contact tracing, yeah, I certainly get the concerns about that, but is this really where you're drawing the line on this matter when we have things like portions of the Patriot Act getting reauthorized yet again? There was an amendment put into this reauthorization of the Patriot Act that was put in yesterday that would at least require the government to get a warrant before they could collect your private browser data, but that ended up failing. Not surprisingly, by just one vote, came one vote away from at least having a warrant for having the government be able to collect your private internet data. By the way, that amendment was sponsored by both a Republican and a Democrat. Democrat Ron Wyden and Republican Steve Daines tried to get that amendment, but, like I said, fell one vote short. Interestingly, though, 9 Democrats voted against the amendment, so the Patriot Act is not a partisan issue. There are still a lot of Democrats who probably don't like to admit it that are very much in favor of portions of the Patriot Act or the entire thing. But that's something that gets lost amid the news cycles with COVID-19, that the Patriot Act is still going to continue to be a thing with that infamous measure where you can still get your internet data sent to the government without a warrant whatsoever.
And I know it wasn't directed at me, but that's kind of just like an example of mine of like why we have to be really careful when we implement new surveillance protocol,
right?
Just because these things don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have them, the genie's out of the bottle and you can't put it back.
Yeah, that wasn't directed at you. It's more with the Republicans saying, all right, we're drawing the line on contact tracing when we have garbage like this of the government being able to get data from you without any sort of subpoena or warrant or anything like that. That's kind of the hypocrisy I'm pointing out with it. And like I was saying, it's certainly a lot of Democrats who are on board with portions of the Patriot Act as well. So it certainly is a very bipartisan issue, unfortunately. I wonder if you were to conduct a poll, how many people would still think the Patriot Act is still in place? I'm guessing there's a large portion of the population that probably thinks the Patriot Act has been repealed, and it has not. It is still alive and well.
I don't know. The people who know about it might know that.
Absolutely. You're right. But yeah, just general people who don't really pay much attention to politics, they probably thought, wasn't that a Bush-era thing that went away once Obama became president? The answer to that question, unfortunately, is a no. Let's get to some good news on data privacy, though, because I do have some good news stories regarding this. And let's go to Minnesota on this, locally in our state. So this was just a ruling that was issued by the Minnesota Supreme Court. It was a 4-3 ruling that says law enforcement must have a reasonable suspicion to be able to pursue the names on a hotel registry. So in other words, this ruling says that you can't have the police go to a hotel that you're staying at and ask for the names of all of the guests. They must have a reasonable suspicion to be able to ask for the registry of guests, which is certainly, a step in the right direction. That was ruled again today by the Minnesota Supreme Court, so at least we can't have the police just go to hotels and randomly ask for names. They do need a reason to be able to do that. Also on the good news side of data privacy, this is what I love what happened out of Ohio. So we'll start with the bad part of this, which was originally put in place. The state of Ohio had set up a website, which was basically a site that was set up for employers to snitch on employees who they were saying were claiming to refuse to work during the pandemic. So it was a way for employers to go tell on employees saying, well, they're not working during the pandemic. The state of Ohio had set up that website. Of course, led to lots of controversy, but now the website has been shut down, largely thanks to anonymous hackers who started flooding the website with bogus and fake data. So, gotta love that, a little Robin Hood hacking going on right there. And then the state later announced after the hacking had taken place and they had gotten taken care of, they're going to get rid of the website anyway, saying that they're reevaluating their policy. But yeah, that's kind of crappy that you have a state largely setting up a snitching website where employers can report employees that they claim are refusing to work during the pandemic. Let's talk to Mark in Fridley. Figured if we start talking about data privacy, Mark might have something to say. So let's go ahead and talk to him. Mark, what is on your mind today?
Well, first I'll give you a very timely Ben Franklin quote. And he said, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And had Ben Franklin been around in time for television news, he would have said, believe none of what you see also.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where we're at. I'm going to give another quote. This guy's a Minnesotan. And he was born in Minnesota, and he was the longest-standing Supreme Court Justice of the United States. And he said this, we are rapidly entering the age of no privacy, where everyone is open to surveillance at all times, where there are no secrets from the government. That was Chief Justice William O. Douglas in 1966. There is hardly a person that understands more about these things than I have. And that's why I tried to convince Walter Mondale and got Richard Painter to agree that if he was elected to the Senate, the first act he would take would be to reintroduce the United States Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities, or as we know it, the Church Commission. And the Church Commission was 1975 and uncovered the abuses of the FBI and the CIA spying on American citizens. Now, right now, as we speak, the people lying and crying and whining about the Flynn case. Now, understand this. If they can go after a three-star general and a national security advisor for the president, they can go after us. They can, they have, and they will. And right now, Mitch McConnell is looking at expanding the Patriot Act. But if we want to be true to ourselves, we must understand this. And anybody doing a tiny bit of research will find out that this is true. Joe Biden has taken credit on many occasions for writing the Patriot Act. He wrote it in 1994 as the Senate Intelligence Committee chairman and tried to pass it off in 1995 as the Omnibus Counterterrorism Act of 1995. So none of what we're talking about today is a new thing. William Wood Douglas talked about it in 1966. Frank Church warned about it in 1975. And Joe Biden is actually Surveillance Joe. He bragged about it, and John Ashcroft agreed that basically the Patriot Act, as we know it now, with its amendments, was derived specifically from the 1995 Omnibus Counterterrorism Act of 1995. So when people tell you who to vote for, you can't listen to them. The only power we have over elected officials is the vote. And if we're told that we have to vote this way or that way or for this person or that person, we have to look back. John Kerry beat George W. Bush in 2000. We know that. That's a fact. That was election fraud. In 2004, Al Gore beat W. Bush. And in both instances,
I think you have those in reverse. But yeah, your point is pretty solid, right?
Right. So, you know, we're at a state now. If anybody thinks that they know, have an appreciation of how bad this is, it's exponentially worse. When you have a Supreme Court justice in 1996, and again, this was at the time we had a guy named J. Edgar Hoover running the FBI and having total control over his political opposition because he had access to their dirty little secrets. And the thing we need to find a single political official with the guts to say the obvious thing that we must do at this point right now is reconstitute the Church Commission, the United States Senate Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities, for us to get a full understanding, because all we're going to do is get another BS made-for-TV corporate infomercial PR stunt group of hearings. We weren't told the truth about Fast and Furious. We weren't told the truth about Benghazi. We weren't told the truth about Iran-Contra. And we weren't told the truth about 9/11. We just had an incident, Bay of Pigs 2.0, where our military was involved in trying to overthrow a democratically elected president in Venezuela, and nothing happened. And before the COVID crisis, the Afghanistan papers came out, and the Afghanistan papers confirmed what everybody should now know as fact. We were lied into these wars, and the Democratic Party and the DNC is trying to get us to think of George Bush, a war criminal that would be, should be dragged in front of The Hague with all of his cohorts, as a decent person by comparison. Just because the other guy is horrible doesn't make your person good. So call your government official, tell them to reinstitute the church commission. And if anybody, any politician out there wants to talk to me, and I know bad things have happened to Mark Dayton, bad things happened to Al Franken, bad things happened to a senior FBI special investigator, and I just lost my contact at the Department of Justice, who resigned on March 27th, and it has to do with the Barr-Durham investigation. This is going to be bigger than Watergate. This is going to be huge and epic in scale. And I actually have a short list of all the names that are going to be involved in this. But, you know, we have to look back at history, and we have to look back at who warned us when. When did they know and what did they know? What do they know and when did they know it?
All right, Mark, we're going to have to leave it there. Appreciate the phone call, as always, going down some rabbit holes with some of those. But to his larger point, and I was saying this too, that unfortunately things like the Patriot Act do unfortunately have a lot of bipartisan support, even though it sometimes gets portrayed as just being a Republican thing. No, there are a lot of Democrats, even with that vote we just saw today, that are still very much in favor of those types of provisions, which is very, very disturbing. And also what Mark was saying, that don't listen to people who tell you who to vote for. I'm never going to tell people who to go to vote for or whether they should vote or not. That's your own personal decision. I certainly have my own opinions on who I am going to end up voting for. But he is right. Yeah, think for yourself in terms of who you are ultimately going to end up voting for or not voting for, or whether you're going to vote at all in the first place. That's your own personal decision, and as long as you have good reasons for doing or not doing whatever it is you choose to do or not to do, a lot of double negatives in there, but you largely get the point. If you have reasons for what you're going to do or not to do, I think more power to you. All right, we're going to take a break and come on back with one more final segment here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Are you remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, I'm Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show. And together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics, and I want to thank you for listening to AM 950. The advertisers you hear are what allows us to stay on the airwaves, and unfortunately, some of them are going to be going through some tough times with the coronavirus. So support our advertisers in any way you can, whether that's ordering takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. Even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. I'll be joined, as always, by reporters Bill Werner and Tasha Radel and MNN Sports Director Mike Grimm. Tune us in on your local station or at your convenience at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. I'm here with Ryan, owner of the locally owned Snap Construction and arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor in the metro. Ryan had to call in for this ad because he's practicing social distancing. So what is Snap Construction doing right now to provide a safe working environment?
Thanks for the introduction, Chad. I am at home practicing social distancing, watching the little man, and trying to get a little work done here at home. Once again, thank you to all the AM 950 listeners who have worked with us in the past. Your support has been tremendous. Chad, the safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction is the absolute first priority. Right now, we are offering a free no-contact estimate for roofing, siding, or window replacement. Through video chat, email, text, we'll deliver your bid to you without face-to-face contact. Lock in your historically low labor and material rates now and build later. No obligation. You can cancel any future work with no cost or penalty.
For a free no-contact estimate, call 612-333-SNAP.
Back on the final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on a Thursday afternoon. By the way, thanks to everyone who has signed up for a membership over at am950radio.com. If you sign up for a membership, you, of course, get access to our member content page where we post new interviews every single week. We have a couple more on the way next week that we're really excited about. We'll also be posting a monthly conversation that we have with Tom Hartman. I'm working on trying to get some other national hosts that we have on AM 950 to be part of our bonus podcasts that you'll be able to get over on our member content page on am950radio.com. And big thanks to some of the members that we have at the station, including Burton in Crystal, Shelley and Ronald from St. Louis Park, Catherine from Forest Grove, Richard from St. Paul, Tamara from Robbinsdale, Julie in Woodbury, Peter in Edina, Rebecca in St. Michael, and Matthew over in Inver Grove Heights. Thank you so much for supporting AM 950. Now, if you signed up for a just one-time donation to AM 950, if you'd like, you can make your donation recurring. Just go log on over at am950radio.com on that Become a Member page, and you can sign up to be a recurring or have a recurring donation, which really helps us out here at the station since, like other businesses, we have been hurt by what's been happening with COVID-19. And even though things are slowly going to be reopening starting on May 18th, that is Monday, we're still a long way from being able to fully recover from what has happened economically. Also, one other programming note, coming up in a few weeks, you're going to be hearing some high school graduations that are going to be broadcast on the radio. We have a couple of high schools that I think are lined up to be having their graduation ceremonies broadcast on AM 950. Can't make any official announcements yet. If you know of someone at either a high school or a college and you'd like their graduation ceremony broadcast on AM 950, contact us, 952-946-8885, or email us comment at am950radio.com. We're a great resource to use for these types of things because when you're talking about, let's say, high school students, when you're talking about, let's say, low-income students that maybe don't have internet access at home or they have slow internet access, it's tough for them to access like a Zoom graduation or something that's going to be broadcast on Instagram or Facebook Live. Use radio as a great resource since it can reach just about anybody. And we are going to be broadcasting some graduation ceremonies. And if you know a local high school or a college and think we should be broadcasting their graduation ceremony, go ahead and have them get in contact with us. 952-946-8885. Or you can email us at comment at am950radio.com. And we will get the ball rolling on that. So, got a non-COVID-19 related story to pass along to you. Figure we need to get to a couple of those before we wrap up the show today because you can only get so much COVID-19 related material and it just becomes overwhelming and, quite frankly, kind of depressing, as Matt has even talked about on his show. It's the reason why he does the dancing at the end of his show. So, here's one to pass along to you. This is also related to data privacy, which we were talking about in the last segment. So, a guy from Minnesota has filed a lawsuit against a company that is called, getting the name of it here, I just lost the name of it, where is it here? Well, I'll get it to you in just a second. It's basically one of those websites that is supposed to defend your reputation, or it's something when you Google your name, it'll come up and say, well, Brett Johnson has arrest records and DUIs and warrants issued for him. It's basically a way to get you to click on that website and then pay a fee to make sure your name gets removed from said website. So when people Google your name, they don't see that you potentially have an arrest record, even though that's completely untrue. It's largely just an extortion scheme.
Although we're lucky that there's probably 100 people within 50 miles of us with the same name.
I know, I was going to make that comment. You and I both have witness protection program style names with Brett Johnson and Eric Nelson. Those are two of like the fakest names you could possibly come up with. By the way, the name of the website I'm thinking of, I was just blanking on it, is mylife.com. If you Google your name, there's a good chance you're probably going to see that you apparently have arrest records and DUIs and warrants issued for your arrest. And the website largely tries to extort you to pay a fee to remove that information. And they even upsell you, too. They'll say they'll remove some of your information if you pay us a monthly fee of $13 or $16, but we can completely remove it if you sign up for our premium membership of $25 a month. So this guy by the name of Brian Finley is suing this company, MyLife, to get his information removed. It was just filed a couple days ago, according to City Pages. So, Eric, you and I are in good shape, being that we have very generic names. I've never really Googled my name that much or been very concerned if I ever go on a job search of someone potentially Googling my name and coming up with arrest records, simply because do I really want to work for a company that's just going to Google my name and trust what looks like a very scam-filled website like mylife.com? I'm not sure if I even would want to work for that type of employer, but this probably will be something that increasingly people become concerned about as the job market gets very, very tight with what's happening with the pandemic. So, yeah, that lawsuit was filed, and it's actually part of a class action lawsuit since 16 other people have joined with Brian from Minnesota trying to get this website, MyLife, shut down. But if you ever do Google your name and see that you potentially have an arrest record, even though you don't, you're better off not paying that fee, since it's no guarantee they'll even remove your name from those websites. And like I said, they'll just try to upsell you anyways.
Guess what? Those other people that they're hiring, they'll just look up their names, and they'll also potentially have arrest records. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So if this gets struck down, it'll be really interesting, because I am thinking a company like MyLife.com has probably made some good money just from random people who decided, all right, I got to get my name off here. I'm going to pay and get my arrest record taken off. I mean, it's not like you need a lot of resources to set up a website like this. You just do a search for the white pages, pick up a name, pick a bunch of names, put them in a database, and say they have arrest records.
What's stopping you from just making a second website called Our Life and just putting the name back
life,
up there?
Our Life, then we'll start Your Life. Maybe you and I should do that and try to make some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So that lawsuit is working its way through the courts, at least in civil courts. It's not a criminal trial, but it'll be interesting to see what happens if they shut that down. And as you said, Eric, if they just go ahead and decide to set up a completely different website. And final non-COVID related story. This one is coming out of us from the BBC, where apparently we could make concrete on the moon from human urine. Gotta love this.
I told you.
You told me, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm always saying this.
You've been saying that for years. So if there's a way that you want to get away from the pandemic, go to the moon, because apparently, with your own
you can make some concrete.
You can make some
piss.
Concrete and build, I guess, a house or something to live in. Yeah, that was just reported by scientists in a BBC article. So, yeah, got a kick out of that. All right, that's all the time I got for today. I'll be back tomorrow with a couple of great interviews that you won't want to miss. So that's on the way tomorrow. Matt McNeil is coming up next.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at AM950 Radio.